Loving God, help me. Help my imperfect words speak to our broken lives. Help me, help us. Let your grace flow, and may we discover the abundance that comes from being open to you, to each other, and to the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not the way I usually open. I open that way today because I need help. It's funny, you put a whole service together, and you sort of know how all the pieces work. What I've found is the service thus far is making it impossible for me to preach what I was going to preach. See, I have a good sermon. I really do. It's clever and it's witty. There's some social media jokes. There's Jesus visits his hometown and what happens next will blow your mind. Got a whole thing. It was going to be awesome. The problem is that it doesn't address the elephant, not in the room, but in my heart. I don't know how other preachers are. I do know this. I often suggest to you, I present to you the way I speak, that I have a stable relationship with Jesus. You know? And the truth is I don't. And not having that stable relationship, I can't preach these words. I simply can't. Here's the thing. I met Jesus a long, long time ago. I met Jesus through my parents. I was a baby. There was water involved. I'm pretty sure I wore a dress. And Jesus loved me, and I loved Jesus, and it was really good. And I grew up hearing stories about Jesus. And telling stories about Jesus, and Jesus and I were so much alike. It was amazing. We were both special. We were awesomely special, and we were kind, and we knew that you're supposed to tell the truth and be nice to people, and we worried about people who didn't have all the things that we had, and so we would want them to have those things too. And Jesus was calm. You know, Jesus didn't get into trouble. And so as a kid, I learned that I didn't get into trouble. And I liked things to be nice and calm and peaceful. And so I was always good at making sure things are calm and peaceful. Jesus and I, we were so tight, and it was great. I had a great relationship with Jesus. And then a little later, Jesus started saying things. Jesus started getting angry. And I didn't recognize that Jesus. I knew the baby Jesus. I knew meek and mild Jesus. I knew special Jesus. But this Jesus was mad and yelled at people and called them hypocrites and liars. And I went, oh my Jesus, are you stupid? Don't ever yell at people in authority or power, because then they're never going to let you in. You're never going to get to have authority and power too, because they're going to shut you down. And then you can't go in and tweak and massage the system to make it better. Couldn't believe how wrong Jesus was. And it really bothered me that he'd get so angry and yell at people, because I knew the most important thing to do was to keep things calm. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? And I tried to explain this to Jesus. I tried to let him understand, and he just didn't seem to get it, and so he went away. Angry Jesus went away. Oh, thank God, angry Jesus is gone. And I looked, but calm baby Jesus was gone too. And I was alone. I didn't have Jesus anymore. And I wanted Jesus. I wanted baby Jesus so badly. I wanted Jesus who was like me, who was special, who reminded me that I was special, and kept things calm. But I didn't want angry Jesus. And so I was alone. I wonder if that's what was going on with that guy in the gospel. Hey, isn't that Joseph's son? We know what Jesus is like. Why are you being different? As I got older and I think wiser, maybe more mature, I ran into situations where tweaking it was not going to make it right. There were places that I went and experiences that I went into where there was no, it's okay, we'll just keep things calm and peaceful. There was no, it's fine, how are you? There wasn't that. There were things that were wrong, and somebody needed to say something. Somebody needed to yell. Somebody needed to protest. Someone needed to show up. Somebody needed to demand change in an angry way that questioned authority and made it impossible to be invited to their best dinner parties. And when I realized that, I looked around, and lo and behold, Jesus was back. Angry Jesus was back with me, and calm Jesus was back with me, and I began to trust God a little more with my anger and my passion, and I discovered that God could actually move through my anger and my passion, and it was amazing. Now I had Jesus, and I had angry, passionate Jesus, and I had calm Jesus. And then as I grew and experienced more things in my life, I met broken Jesus. That was a shock to me because, I mean, Jesus is like strong and wonderful and perfect and everything I want to be because I was a little kid. I remembered he's like Superman, but he doesn't fly, except in that one story. Like it's, yeah. But there was broken Jesus. And I recognized my brokenness in Jesus. And then I met mistaken Jesus, Jesus who actually did things wrong and then changed direction and changed attitude. And oh my goodness, I had so many different types of Jesus all around me, and it was getting very comfortable, and I was so happy. It was fantastic. And then I met black Jesus. Now, I don't just mean a picture of Jesus that was dark. I met black Jesus through some African friends, some Caribbean friends, and this Jesus spoke about things that I didn't understand, and this Jesus talked in ways that I didn't get, and this Jesus did things and was passionate about things that I just didn't understand whatsoever. And I didn't stone him. I'm not a racist. But I explained to God that I don't get this Jesus. And so that Jesus went away. Oh, thank God. Because that Jesus was really hard. That Jesus made me feel guilty and powerless all at the same time. I didn't like that feeling. Thing is that as I looked around, I discovered that broken Jesus was gone now too. And angry Jesus was gone, and calm Jesus was gone, and I was alone again. And I didn't have Jesus, and I wanted Jesus. And I said to God, God, I'm trying. I don't understand. I can't relate to him. I want to relate to him. I want to understand, but we have nothing in common. And God, it's as if God spoke to me and said, seriously, Celia, do you think it's about you? Yes? It's not about you and about your lens and about your passions and about the way you see things. It's not about your experience. He even used, it's not about your privilege. And that was hard to understand. And God said, it's about everybody. It's about all of my children. It's about all of creation. And I started to understand that I could listen and love and follow even without completely understanding. I remembered when calm Jesus and angry Jesus said to me, you should love your enemy. And I thought, well, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're supposed to love your enemy. Don't you know what enemy means? Enemy is somebody you don't love. But I had learned through my calm Jesus and my angry Jesus that I could actually learn to love the enemy because it isn't about me. And having learned that, I discovered black Jesus sitting at my table. And the amazing thing is that angry Jesus came back and broken Jesus came back and baby calm Jesus came back. And then I met Asian Jesus, and I met queer Jesus, and I met an Anishinaabe Jesus, and I met a Cree Jesus, and I discovered that there are indigenous Jesus all over the world because nobody is more indigenous anywhere than Jesus. So many ways to meet. I was with my youth group, and they introduced me to trans Jesus, and that blew my mind, because I went, okay, now you're just trying to be way too clever. And they said, well, if you think about the virgin birth, Norm, I mean, where's the DNA coming from? I mean, if we've only got Mary's DNA, how can Jesus be a boy? Unless he transitions or transcends your understanding of binary sexuality and gender identification. And that blew my mind. The great thing about that is I did not, in that moment, say no. I did not. So isn't that Joseph's kid? I actually listened. And I discovered as I drove home that night, the black Jesus and Asian Jesus and indigenous Jesus and angry Jesus and calm Jesus and broken Jesus were still with me. I was still in relationship, and it was amazing. I should end right here. But the other dirty secret is that there have been times that I have stoned Jesus. And I don't want to admit that. Not to God, not to you, not to Jesus. I would like to just hide in the shadows when I throw my stones. But the truth is, I have stoned Jesus. I met Jesus. I met Jesus because Jesus was the friend of an enemy. And that was hard for me. And so I convinced myself that my enemy didn't really know Jesus, and that really couldn't possibly be Jesus. There's no way that can be Jesus. Because you see, here's the thing. I know Jesus. I know Jesus professionally. He's a friend from work, okay? Every day, I'm learning about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I went to school for a very long time. I still go to school. I know Jesus. And I know there is no way that that Jesus is real. I met Jesus wearing a Make America Great hat. That can't be right, can it? I've met Jesus with people with whom I do not agree, people who are wrong. I know that they're wrong, and that can't possibly be Jesus. And as soon as I know that can't be Jesus, the truth is, I'm getting stones. I'm leading Jesus to the cliffside so we can push him over. See, I know what Jesus is for and what Jesus is against. Like I said, I'm professional. I know. You can trust me. But here's the thing that I've discovered. As soon as I know what Jesus is for and what Jesus is against, as soon as I know for sure, I might as well be the guy standing up saying, hey, isn't that Joseph's son? I already know, so you don't have to tell me anything. I've got it figured out. I no longer have to listen. I've done my homework. I no longer have to love. Isn't that Joseph's son? And what happened? Well, they got angry and they tried to kill him. But more importantly, he disappeared. What I've discovered is that every time I am sure about my relationship with Jesus, every time I can tell you exactly what Jesus is thinking and feeling and doing, angry Jesus goes away, and baby Jesus goes away, and black Jesus disappears, and Asian Jesus disappears, and all the relationship suddenly is gone. As soon as I know it all, I don't need Jesus anymore, and he disappears. So the truth is, I don't have a stable relationship with Jesus. I wish I did. And please don't think for a second that I'm saying if you just add Jesus to the sentence, you get a free pass. I believe in this, and Jesus said so, that I will accept it. No, I won't do that. But as soon as you add Jesus to the sentence, I think there is an invitation to engagement. And so we need to listen to each other, and we need to talk with each other, and we need to try and feel together. If we can't feel the same things, let's at least try and feel together. And then we can discover whether Jesus is sticking around or whether Jesus is disappearing. The proof will be in how we live it out. No, I don't have a stable relationship with Jesus. And you should know that before I preach another word. I don't. But I do have an eye-opening, heart-filling, inspiring relationship with Jesus that keeps me working and keeps me loving, keeps me healing, and keeps me alive. And now that you know that, I feel I can preach to you. Except I've run out of time. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, help me to know you, but never let me be so satisfied that I think it's done. Help us all to live with Jesus, but let us always be open to the challenge, to the invitation, to the love that comes when we realize it's not all about us. It's about all of creation, how we live together and how we live with you. God, make our relationships with each other and with you authentic and life-giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.